Matt Sullivan here to remind you to stop putting screens on your gutters. Better to schedule a free estimate with the local experts at Gutter Helmet so you stay off the ladder. Visit gutterhelmetindy.com. With Gutter Helmet, you'll never clean your gutters again. gutterhelmetindy.com.
Hammer and Nigel.
Can you believe these characters are weirdos?
So let's rock!
All right, Hammer, I'm going to start this segment by giving you a heads up. I'm going to issue you a warning. I'm going to issue a warning to you and anyone that's listening, or maybe even the families that have been negatively affected by horrible decisions made by leftist progressive judges in this city. I'm warning you that if you criticize them or their decisions, it's dangerous rhetoric.
Okay,
so just a heads up. All right. If you have a problem with sentencing or decisions or, you know, judges finding killers of their babies not guilty and letting them walk free, if you criticize that, oh my goodness, it's dangerous rhetoric. So I guess we better just switch topics altogether now.
Or, now hear me out.
Yes. Listen.
We fight back in a very special edition of Legal Stuff.
Okay.
Crime. Punishment. Judges. Legal Stuff. So the Indiana Bar Association, Indianapolis specifically, they've got their feelings hurt because Judge Mark Stoner, who I've said is the worst judge in the state of Indiana,
yes,
has a history of bad controversial decisions. And if you call him out on it, if you're somebody that feels like, you know, if you smother your baby to death while you're high on meth, you should probably just take a step back. The Indiana Bar Association doesn't want you to criticize Judge Mark Stoner. They put this op-ed, this opinion piece, out in the Indy Star. And it was penned by Julie Armstrong of the Indy Bar Association.
And I hear Jules, she's a sweetheart.
Oh, Jules, isn't she the best? Now, here's the thing, Jules. Can I call you Jules? I know for a fact that Judge Stoner is so soft, he's softer than a baby's backside, that he's having all the folks around him, many of them who work under him, carry his water because he's upset at the perception. Okay? And I also know, Jules, that you have been shopping this nonsensical article to every media outlet that is here in Indianapolis. And the only one that's willing to carry your bull crap is the one that has the lowest reach, the Indy Star. So congratulations, you got your op-ed defending Judge Stoner in the worst media outlet in the city of Indianapolis. Feel like you accomplished something, didn't you? I, on the other hand, I'm not willing to go along with Jules' demands, because if you read the article,
Jules,
she's very upset that the, quote, media is portraying Judge Stoner as somebody that's soft on crime. And I'm going to just assume she's probably talking about this radio program. She's probably talking about the FOP president, Rick Snyder, and anybody that thinks that Judge Stoner could, do his job a little better. She's got a problem with
Boy,
you.
Rick Snyder from the FOP ripped them a new one today and doubled down on it.
If you missed it earlier, and I know our news team played some of the audio, this is FOP President Rick Snyder responding to Julie Armstrong and the Indianapolis Bar Association defending the worst judge in Indiana, Mark Stoner.
And then we had organizations like the Indianapolis Bar Association who then write a letter condemning my remarks for criticizing that. I again want to say this, and I want it very publicly documented. I'm doubling down on that criticism, and shame on you, Indianapolis Bar Association. You have emboldened this kind of crap. And this is what our city is facing. This is why This is why officers in the city of Indianapolis are fleeing this community. Not because they don't love the city. In fact, it's the opposite. Because they love this city, they can't stand by and watch what is being done to it, torn apart by our very criminal justice system that is supposed to be protecting it. So they are choosing to go to other communities to be able to do that because there's no hope here.
Yet recruiting down 350 plus for IMPD,
right,
just as a side note.
Because officers see what's happening here. They've got a mayor that does not have their back. They've got a prosecutor that does not have their back and makes their lives more difficult by allowing these lunatics back out on the street. And you've got ridiculously bad judges like the, quote, honorable Judge Mark Stoner. And in regards to this article itself, like, I am not trying to just pick on Julie Armstrong individually. I'm not. But the article itself is so laughable and so lame. The article makes it sound like everybody has just turned on Judge Stoner because of what happened in the Elias Dorsey, Breanne Leith decision alone. Okay? Look, I understand. I might not like it, but I understand why the jury said what they did. I understand that the death penalty was taken off the table. You could not give Elias Dorsey a lot of time because he was found guilty, but also mentally ill. I personally don't believe he was mentally ill, but my personal feelings are irrelevant at this point, okay? But the fact of the matter is that Judge Stoner still did not give the maximum sentence to Elias Dorsey. It could have been 9 months longer. And honestly, you could ask yourself, what's 9 months? It means a lot to law enforcement. It means a lot to the family of Breanne Leith. You chose, Judge Stoner, not to give the max. That sent a message to law enforcement in this city. And the other thing that bothers me, and I'm sorry, I try to make this show fun. I really do, but I'm so fired up about this. This little op-ed in the Indy Star by Jules didn't mention any of the other ridiculously bad decisions that Judge Mark Stoner has been a part of. This was the same judge that said not guilty to the mom who said she was on meth when she smuggled and killed her baby in front of another child. That was Judge Mark Stoner. It was Judge Mark Stoner that gave the non-max sentence to Aaron Allen of Southport's killer. Basically said that the state couldn't prove that the scumbag in the car knew that Aaron Allen was a police officer, despite the fact he was in uniform and announced himself. That was Mark Stoner. It was also Mark Stoner that had a very soft sentence to the scumbag that shot at police officers, gave him low bail, and then this guy got out and took the life of Noah Shanavaz. That was Mark Stoner.
I wonder if you're a judge.
Oh, I'm not done. Hold on. I'm not done. It was Mark Stoner who lowered the bond and gave GPS monitoring to the lunatic that fired shots at a funeral and hit a four-year-old girl. That was Judge Mark Stoner. So I'm sorry, Julie Armstrong. It's not just one instance here. It's a long list of stuff which makes him the worst judge in Indiana, and nobody is buying your bullcrap.
Yeah, I wonder if like judges like that like see something after a decision they've made and the guy they let go goes out and does more harm, kills more people, shoots at police officers. I wonder what he thinks to himself. I think, maybe next time we'll be different.
Right.
Like, what are you thinking to yourself? I couldn't live with myself. I'd be devastated.
And if it were just one isolated case of him making a bad decision, not giving the max that he could to Elias Dorsey, I think a lot of people would be upset, but then they'd probably move on. But this guy, I just rattled off a list of just over the top, ridiculous things that this guy has been a part of. And the Indianapolis Bar Association has the gall to finger wag at us. On behalf of everybody that's got common sense in this city, Julie Armstrong, Indiana Bar Association, take a one-way ticket to hell. again, Nige, I'm sorry. I know we would try to have fun here, and like we've been told, hey, sometimes you get too fired up. We need to have more laughs on the show. And I love doing that, but I'm not going to sit here and get a lecture from Julie Armstrong and the Indiana Bar Association carrying the water for the worst judge in the state. I'm not going to do it.
Life is so much more than a diagnosis. It's about sharing time with those you love, hanging with friends who lift you up, and experiencing all those moments that bring you joy. All hits, no skips. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you. So long live singing to the oldies, jamming out to something new, and everything in between.
Listening to the Hammer and Nigel Show.
So are you as fired up for the NFL draft as, like, say, Rob Kendall was? I heard you guys talking about that earlier this morning. I have friends that take days off work so they can do nothing but watch the first, second, third, so on and so on, the rounds of the NFL draft. Is that the way it is for you?
I mean, I'm into it, but I don't think anybody's as into it the way Rob is. Like, to Rob Kendall, the first round of the NFL draft, it's bigger than the Indy 500, bigger than Sunday at the Masters, bigger than day one of March Madness.
Yeah, I don't get that.
I don't either. But tonight, though, it could be interesting. I'm not saying it's not interesting, but there's a lot of downtime when these teams are on the clock and they burn every last second of it. And we have to sit through interview after interview. It gets a little long, but we'll see what happens. Drama tonight. Colts are sitting at pick number 15. A lot of chatter that they may try to trade up. Now, normally, that's not been a Chris Ballard thing. If anything, it's been the opposite. He likes to trade back and stockpile draft picks. But there's a lot of folks that feel like there are some really good wide receivers and a really good tight end available. If the Colts trade up to around 9 or 10, we might have a ball game here, Nige.
So, I mean, there's at least two teams, the Bears and the Commanders, that need quarterbacks.
I think the first three are all going to be quarterbacks. Bears are taking Caleb Williams. I think that's pretty locked in. The Commanders could either go with the LSU kid, Daniels, or May from North Carolina, depending on who they like. And then after that, the Patriots are a wild card. They could pick whoever's left, or if they don't like who it is, then we could do some wheeling and dealing. So we'll see what happens. The first player that's not going to be a quarterback expected to be off the board is Marvin Harrison Jr. The best tight end available is this kid from Georgia named Brock Bowers. And if the Colts are going to make a trade, that's the guy I'd love to see.
So it'll probably be, Marvin Harrison Jr., probably either the Patriots or the Cardinals.
Right. But you've always got teams that fall in love with other quarterbacks. Is somebody going to jump up and take a gamble on Michigan's quarterback or whatever? So there is drama. They just stretch it out so freaking long. The NFL draft tonight being held in Detroit. You could witness history.
Tonight, it's the most exciting night in football, the NFL Draft. Your chance to watch a team's fortunes change forever.
The Carolina Panthers select Bryce Young, quarterback.
No, not that team.
The New York Jets select Zach Wilson.
No, not that one.
The Oakland Raiders select quarterback Jamarcus Russell.
Oh. Yeah, no, keep going.
The Cleveland Browns select Johnny Manziel.
Oh, boy.
The Indianapolis Colts select quarterback, University of Tennessee,
there you go. The NFL Draft. Come witness football history. Maybe.
So we kind of have this debate every year, and this is a hill that I'm willing to die on, Nige.
What's that?
Of all the fictional football players that are out there, from movies, television shows, books, song, whatever, fictional football players, I will die on the hill that the best draft prospect is Stan Gable, quarterback from Adams College.
Over Bobby Boucher?
Yes. You don't take a linebacker at number one. Linebacker doesn't change your franchise. But hear me out. This is why I feel like Stan Gable is generational. In the movie Revenge of the Nerds, before the big pep rally, They say Stan Gable is their two-time All-American quarterback. All right, two-time. They're getting ready for a game. It's at a press conference. This means they're in season, and they haven't announced the awards for that season yet. That happens at the end of the year. But also in the movie, we find out that Stan Gable is running for election to the Greek council to be the president, meaning he's got another year left. So if he's a two-time All-American quarterback now, they haven't announced awards yet, and he's running for next year, he's been an All-American since he was a freshman. No quarterback is an All-American freshman, sophomore, junior, and senior. That's a generational talent. You have to draft Stan Gable with the number one pick.
I don't believe I'm going out on a limb when I say you've put way too much thought into this. What about Willie Steeman Beeman?
Good player.
Jamie Foxx?
Good
Oliver
player.
Oliver Stone film, Any Given Sunday?
I mean, there are good players in the fictional draft. Like, the best slot receiver you're going to find is Tweeter from the West Canaan Coyotes in Varsity Blues. Like, that's your Brandon Stokely clone right there. The perfect slot receiver. That's Wes Welker.
I don't know why I wasn't expecting a Tweeter reference, but you're right.
I mean, if you're looking to hold down that line, maybe you look at Billy Bob, his teammate. I don't know. But I'm just telling you, if I've got the number one pick in the fictional football draft, it's got to be Stan Gable, quarterback of Adams College. And if you needed
right,
any more
I'm
reason,
listening. I'm listening. Yeah.
Any more reason? Think about this. Betty Childs left him because he wasn't paying enough attention to her. To me, as a football team, that's great. He's focused on football. He's not worried about chicks. He's not worried about his relationships. He didn't really give a damn that he didn't win the presidency of the Greek council. I'm going all in. I'm giving the Brinks truck to Stan Gable, quarterback of Adams College. It's the Hammer and Nigel Show.
You're listening to the Hammer and Nigel Show.
Somebody please tell me why all those pro-Hamas, anti-Israel protesters that were blocking Meridian Street near the governor's mansion earlier this morning, why would they wear like 2020-style COVID-type masks? Why do they all wear the mask? Is it because they're cowards and they don't want their faces out there? They don't want people to know that they actually like Hamas and they like what happened on October 7th? Is that what it is?
When you're wishing death to America,
sure.
The last thing you want is to catch COVID.
Sure.
So they're taking all precautions necessary. They're getting ready for the revolution, Nige. That's what's happening.
Okay, yeah. So, I mean, it was a small thing today. People were arrested because they indeed were blocking traffic. I don't have a problem with a peaceful protest, even if I disagree with it. But you can't get out in the middle of traffic and stop or impede the movement of vehicles. You can't do it. It's against the law, and people were arrested, and rightly so.
And that's pretty ballsy to do here in Indy. Have you seen the way we drive? Like, the way we as a city drive, yeah. You know, one person just has to be looking down at their phone. Next thing you know, pa-plow, you know, anti-Semitic pancakes all over the north part of Meridian Street there. So 14 people were a part of this. They were up there near the governor's mansion. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, Nige, but the last time there was some scuttlebutt up near the governor's mansion, that's when Governor Holcomb decided he wanted to have a meet and greet with Malik Muhammad.
Oh, the leader of the whole thing.
Yeah. They let that angry mob up the street on television demanding to meet with the governor. They threatened to take over the governor's mansion. Malik Muhammad said he was prepared to die that night. But then there was a big hug at the end of the night, and everybody felt good. And Governor Holcomb met with that guy.
Yee.
Like, he had a private meet and greet.
Bad luck.
Meanwhile, people who just wanted to open up their businesses, they didn't want anything else. They weren't blocking the street. They weren't throwing bricks. They just wanted to open up their businesses. They were called a petri dish from Governor Holcomb. But Malik Muhammad was prepared to die, and he got a one-on-one. So that was the last time we had action near the governor's mansion. Today wasn't quite to that level. Smaller crowd compared to some of these gatherings we've seen around the country.
It's amazing how it can actually work, though. I mean, this is exactly how the riots could have been prevented with this type of police work. But the higher-ups, it certainly wasn't the police fault in 2020. Upper echelons of the administration said, let them march.
Right. Think about this. We're getting ready to have the Indy 500 here in about 30 days, about a month or so. the police force, they're able to get 350,000 plus people in and out safely, organized, and everything's fine year after year. You mean to tell me they couldn't have handled a couple knuckleheads downtown on Monument Circle if they had the authority to do it?
That's the problem. They didn't have the authority. At least that's sort of what we've been hearing over the past couple of years from people that would be in the know.
Right. And the shot caller, the mayor,
was nowhere to be found.
No. May or may not have been in rehab. We've heard stories. We can't confirm. We can't deny. May or may not have been in a rehab facility in Richmond, Indiana. I don't know. But, again, today's was kind of small. 14 people, death to America, we hate the Jews, all right, fine, whatever. Compared to what's happening at Columbia, this wasn't even a speck on the radar. I mean, it's still going on at Columbia, at Yale, at Princeton, these Ivy League schools. And as our guest told us yesterday, Adam Guyette from Advocacy and Media, it's not just Ivy League, but they're the ones that have all the attention. It's all over the country. It's 200-plus college campuses where some of this nonsense is taking place. But Columbia is kind of ground zero for it. And yesterday, the House Speaker, Mike Johnson, and some of the other GOP members, they walked into the lion's den.
Yeah.
Look, say what you want about Mike Johnson. You might not like him because he gives away so much of your money to other countries. He promised to help the border. That hasn't happened yet. I understand that. But I will tip my hat to him and his colleagues for going into the lion's den at Columbia with an angry mob protesting and speaking.
Today, I'm here to proclaim to all those who gnash their teeth and demand to wipe the state of Israel off the map and attack our innocent Jewish students this simple truth. Neither Israel nor these Jewish students on this campus will ever stand alone. Today, Hamas issued an endorsement statement of the protesters on this campus. They called them the future leaders of America. It is detestable. All of this has to be said because the cherished traditions of this university are being overtaken right now by radical and extreme ideologies. They place a target on the backs of Jewish students in the United States and here on this campus. A growing number of students have chanted in support of terrorists. They have chased down Jewish students. They have mocked them and reviled them. They have shouted racial epithets. They have screamed at those who bear the Star of David. Enjoy your free speech. They've told Jewish students who wear the Star of David to leave the country. And shamefully, some professors and faculty have joined the mobs.
And that's it right there. It's really being fostered and fomented by the administrations of these universities, the faculty of these universities. They all approve of it. They're the ones that are, for the most part, indoctrinating the actual students that go there. Again, a lot of these people being bussed in from out of town.
Right.
Just like here in Indianapolis.
Yeah. Of the 14 people that were arrested today, most of them were not from Indianapolis. So, again, go back to Columbia. You could hear that in the background. The speaker is simply saying, hey, there are people here cheering for a terrorist organization, and he was being heckled for it. I mean, that's unbelievable to me. This is House Representative Anthony DeEsposito from New York.
If you are a protester on this campus and you are proud that you've been endorsed by Hamas, you are part of the problem. When you cheer on the fact that you enjoy Hamas and Hezbollah, you are yourself part of the problem. Mr. Speaker, I am proud to join with you here today in calling for the immediate resignation of the president of Columbia. She has failed her duty. She is not keeping students safe. And we see on this campus the hate-filled speech that is carrying through this country.
And listen to those students.
Oh.
Boo! We love Hamas! Boo!
Just like Mike Johnson said earlier in the previous clip, gnashing their teeth. great description. I think it's wonderful to hear them scream at the U.S. House, the New York House Representative Despacito.
Despacito. All right, let's have a serious conversation. Can we really lock in and debate something that I think really matters here, Nige?
Do we have to?
Is butter considered a condiment? This is a big debate that I got into with some members of my family. Is butter considered a condiment?
I consider condiment like mayonnaise, mustard, ketchup. I don't think that butter is a condiment, no.
Okay, so let me make the case here. And Allison, feel free to be the judge here. Nigel is team no, I am team yes, because butter is not just a topping or a spread like on, you know, muffins or pancakes. It plays a pivotal role and enhancing flavors. And really, that's what mustard does. That's what ketchup does. It adds richness. It provides moisture to dishes, much like traditional condiments do. Furthermore, butter could also elevate the taste of other ingredients when you mix it together, like if you're making a cake or something. It brings out the flavor. It adds to the flavor. And I think that belongs in the condiment family.
Again, I'm not stepping out on a limb when I say you've put way too much thought into this.
Allison?
Yeah, I just feel like, you know, ketchup, mustard, the basics. I would not have put butter in that category as a condiment.
Oh, well, think about when you go to a diner and they have condiments on the table. They have the ketchup and they have sometimes those little coffee mates. They also have butter in there and they call that the condiments.
True, but not all condiments are there. Like relish is a condiment.
I'm on your side.
But like you go to a movie theater, it's there. You go get your popcorn, look over there, there's the napkins, there's the little trash can.
Well, liquid butter, I feel like, is a different category.
I'm putting it all into one. I'm telling you, I think it belongs in the condiment family.
All right, I'll go with it.
Thank you. Nope. You can weigh in on social media.
He needs this win, Nigel.
All right.
At Hammer and Nigel. Get in the YouTube chat right now. Fight with your fellow hammeroids and Nigerians. Get in the YouTube chat and let us know what you think.
Life is so much more than a diagnosis. It's about sharing time with those you love, hanging with friends who lift you up, and experiencing all those moments that bring you joy. All hits, no skips. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you. So long live singing to the oldies, jamming out to something new, and everything in between.
Linda happened to be caller number 9. Linda, how are you?
Hello?
Hello, how are you, dear?
I am doing well.
Good. We are going to play a little game here. It's called Roger Daltrey or Committed Adultery. I'm going to give you a fact or a name. You simply tell me if it's related to Roger Daltrey or if it's somebody that has famously committed adultery. You get 2 out of 3 correct. We're going to give you the tickets, okay?
Okay.
Here we go. Number 1. Has performed a halftime Super Bowl show. Roger Daltrey or committed adultery?
Roger Daltrey.
There we go. Yes. That was the Super Bowl the Who did, the Saints and the Colts that year. All right. Get this one right. And we're going to throw a party, Linda.
All right. I'm ready.
Roger Daltrey or committed adultery? Hugh Grant.
He probably committed adultery.
Yes, he did.
Elizabeth Hurley, how do you cheat on her?
And did you see the hooker, Divine Brown? Come on, Hugh.
Eek.
What are you thinking? Linda, congratulations. You have got 2 tickets to go see Roger Daltrey at the Old National Center, June 27th. Stay on the line and Allison will take care of you, okay?
Thank you so much.
Nige, Dateline Kansas.
Yes.
Players and coaches on a Kansas high school baseball team are accused of killing a chicken on the field.
On purpose?
A school resource officer at Valley Center High School tipped them off to claims that the varsity team killed a chicken on Saturday on the field before they jumped on the bus and went to their away game.
That's not very nice.
No. And now the school has shut down the baseball program. Now, I'm wondering, Were they watching the movie Major League? Were they channeling their inner Pedro Serrano?
Hey, I got a big problem. Serrano wants some extra power for tonight. He's looking to sacrifice a live chicken. Hey, Jake, man, we can't have people puking in the locker room before the game.
God, next. Tell him not to worry. I'll think of something. Come on.
Here's the pitch. Swings and misses.
He should have gotten a live chicken.
I mean, Serrano wanted to sacrifice a live chicken to Joe Boo in Major League.
Is that the only reason why we did this story? We covered the story is so we could play that clip from Major League?
Thank you.
Is that the only reason why we did this story?
Yeah. Maybe.
Yeah. You just wanted to play the clip. Great clip. Don't
I do love
wrong.
Major League.
I love it.
Anytime it's on, I will watch it. Like one of the movie channels has been playing it a lot lately. And if I'm ever channel surfing at home, I see it. Stops right there.
I've been watching Old School over and over again lately. I think it's on Netflix. It might be on Max. I'm not sure. I forget, but I can't stop watching Old School.
Frank the Tank
still holds up.
I think it's because we got the beer bong.
That's it. That's exactly
I'll
it.
I'll do one. He's gonna do one. Next thing you know, he's running naked down the street, wondering if KFC is still open.
Hammer and Nigel.
You believe these characters are weirdos?
So let's rock.
My name is Nigel. Jason Hammer right over there. The Supreme Court arguments beginning today over Trump's claim of absolute immunity from the rage prosecutor, Jack Smith.
There it is.
This is Donald Trump before the hearing that he is actually not allowed to attend.
We have a big case today. This judge isn't allowing me to go. We have a big case today in the Supreme Court on presidential immunity. A president has to have immunity. If you don't have immunity, you just have a ceremonial president.
I don't know what happened to the Drudge Report. But like there's the picture of Donald Trump. I think it's his mugshot. And, you know, all in red. Several different headlines below his mugshot. Supreme Court shock. Trump claims assassination privilege. Kill a rival. Kill an enemy. Kill Hillary. What if King orders a coup? I mean, can you believe he's just
what happened to the Drudge Report?
Outrageous kind of thing.
Is Joe Scarborough now the CEO? Is he like the editor-in-chief of Drudge now, Joe Scarborough?
Oh, wow. So there's that.
Utah Senator and attorney Mike Lee, he thinks that this is going to be a good thing for Donald Trump.
Yeah, I certainly think it should be likely, and I think it will be likely. And the reason is this. There can be no dispute, no matter how loudly Liz Cheney and her acolytes in the Democratic Party want to shout, no matter how much they're inclined to the gossiping around the water cooler about what legal theories they can come up with next. President Donald Trump was, in fact, president of the United States on January 6th. And you have to respect that fact in court, lest every president moving forward is going to be hobbled by a sure awareness of the fact that anything he or she may do could wind up bringing that president into court once that president is no longer in office. We don't want that as a country. And I think the Supreme Court understands that that's not workable, nor is it justifiable under the court's immunity jurisprudence.
And so, I think we all understand as well, the president of the United States is not allowed to just off somebody either. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
That wouldn't happen.
Now, if you have a terrorist that you've got a beat on, you work with your people, like when Soleimani was blown up, that was not an assassination per se. That was eliminating a horrible bastard that has killed your own, you know, American citizens. So it's ridiculous. We're waiting for the court to wrap up for the day. Technically they're still in right now, but it's expected to wrap up any moment. And the orange man, Donald Trump, expected to speak as soon as it's over. Again, he's not allowed to attend based on the judge's ruling from the New York case. So Caitlin Clark, we all know who she is, right?
World's most famous female athlete, would you say?
Right now,
I think
so.
Is that an accurate statement?
I think it is. Do you buy this story? It's kind of an update to a story, but do you buy this? Remember when Ice Cube's league, the Big Three, said we'll pay Caitlin Clark $15 million to come play in our league because she was making such little, wink, wink, money with the Indiana Fever? Ice Cube was like, we'll pay her $15 million to come and play in my 3-on-3 league. Now we're hearing that she was never aware of that offer. The co-owner of the Big Three League, the guy that's not Ice Cube,
thank you,
is now claiming that Caitlin Clark was never told about the deal because of her agents. Do you buy it?
No, I don't think I buy that. I mean, it was all over the news, unless she just completely shuts all that stuff off and doesn't pay attention to it like we do. But I mean, she's got to be. I mean, I'm sure she looks at headlines that mention her in them.
Right.
That was one of the big ones. Dave Portnoy was going to offer her $several million to join their rec league or something like that as well.
And if you're Caitlin Clark, if your agent doesn't present you with a $15 million opportunity, I think you're probably a little upset, right?
Right.
Not saying that she was going to do it, but at least it needs to be brought to my attention.
I'd say she made the right decision going with the WNBA. I mean, Big Three is what? Big Three, 3-on-3 basketball league for former NBA players, mostly on the downslope of their
washed
career.
Up NBA dudes.
Yeah.
Right. Like Kendrick Perkins is out there, I think, playing in the Big Three.
Do females play on any of these teams?
No, she was going to be the first. She was going to be the only one, and the offer was out there, but...
Protect men's sports! We can't have women playing in men's sports!
Caitlin Clark, scrolling through my social media feed, somebody got a selfie with her downtown at the Panera today.
Oh, yeah?
Like, she was downtown working out with the Fever. They've got workouts going on already. Their season starts pretty quickly.
Are you going out of your way to get a selfie with Caitlin Clark? Are you bugging her? Like, if you're in line, like, at Panera behind her, are you tapping her on the shoulder and saying, hey, can I get a selfie?
I might say, hey, what's up? But I don't think I would bother her to, you know, get her food. But, you know, hey, if she's cool about it, then God bless you.
She's going to get a lot of it. Get used to it.
Yeah. I mean, she's the face of the league. Whether she's going to be the best player in it or not, I don't know. But she's the face of that league.
Not just the Fever, the WNBA.
Right.
And she's got a pretty big, I mean, I know she's only getting paid $76,000 her first year by the league, but she's also got a pretty big Nike deal.
$28 million.
Hello.
And hello. Her jerseys are flying off the shelves. And once those shoes come out, man, there's going to be a lot of money to be made once she comes out with that signature shoe. But still, it's funny. You bring up Caitlin Clark. People still want to talk about Greg Doyle and that cringeworthy back and forth press conference. Like, anytime Greg Doyle writes about anything else now, like if he's writing about the draft or Pacers playoffs, you should see the comments and the replies. Everybody's making the heart emoji to him. People are saying, I'm glad you're here. All of the responses and comments, it's like the World Series of being a smartass.
He kind of got Bud Lighted there for a minute, didn't he?
I mean, he hasn't lived it down yet. Like, people thought the Bud Light thing would eventually go away, but it never did. They still have that stigma. And I think Greg Doyle might be in that same position right now. Now, if you missed it, about a week or so ago, because Caitlin Clark is way too classy to respond to any of this nonsense. She knows the drill here. But AI Caitlin Clark, she was more than happy to respond to Greg Doyle. This is what we wanted Caitlin Clark to say to Greg Doyle at that press conference. Here's AI Caitlin.
Hey, Doyle, what the hell is wrong with you? Congrats on making my first press conference here all about you. It will be a cold day in hell before I ever make a heart-shaped signal with my hands toward you. If you are so hell-bent on me doing a hand gesture to you, here's one. It's an extended middle finger, you aging, creepy weirdo. I'm surprised my dad hasn't came over here and beat that stupid goatee off of your smug, creepy face. You're old enough to be my dad, but perverted enough to be featured on Dateline NBC with Chris Hansen. On a creepy scale of 1 to 10, you come in at 14. You are in New York, Governor Andrew Cuomo, and Jared from Subway territory.
Oh.
You're creeping everyone out with your bald head and antics. Why don't you go cheat on your wife again and write another article on it wanting sympathy? Kiss my Iowa ass, you pervert. Caitlin, out.
kiss my Iowa ass.
I think I would get along with Caitlin's dad. Like, I've watched enough games. I think I'd be friends with him. He smuggles in snacks to the games because he doesn't want to buy the concessions. He's got snacks in his hoodie. You know, he's yelling. He'll yell at Caitlin. He told her to shut up in one game because she was getting too mouthy to the referees. I think I'd be good friends with Papa Clark.
Life is so much more than a diagnosis. It's about sharing time with those you love, hanging with friends who lift you up, and experiencing all those moments that bring you joy. All hits, no skips. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you. So long live singing to the oldies, jamming out to something new, and everything in between.
Hammer and Nigel presents is...
It depends upon what the meaning of the word is.
Yeah. Is this anything?
All right, let's rock and roll.
Hammer, how do we play? Is this anything?
I'm going to run some stories by you. This time, you get to be the judge. You're going to break down all the information and give us a verdict. Is the story anything or not?
Alrighty.
A sheriff's office in South Carolina is begging people to stop calling 911 to file noise complaints about a weird roaring sound.
Okay.
Because it's just cicadas. Now, if you don't know what cicadas sound like, take a listen here along with some of the residents talking about the noise.
They sound like a buzzing and like a clicking noise.
Like during the day, it just sounds like a high-pitched humming, but at night, it sounds like a jungle.
Exceptionally loud right now. They were out pretty good in our neighborhood.
911, what's your emergency? It's loud outside my... Sounds like a jungle outside my front door. Is that really what they're calling? They had to ask people to stop calling 911 on cicadas.
Meanwhile, the lines were busy when somebody had a gunshot wound in the alley and they couldn't get through because of all the cicada people calling in.
Little known fact, and we've got proof here, according to one news outlet. Did you know that cicadas urinate?
And you might be feeling some drops falling from the sky that might not be rain. Might be coming from the cicadas. And look, everybody's got to go.
Oh, my God.
That is the worst video I've ever seen in my life.
It's like a garden hose.
Thousands of them.
You ladies, said rain, Tucker.
You ladies rethinking eating those cicadas now? Hey, we know one thing. That cicada doesn't have prostate problems.
Hey-o!
And speaking of eating cicadas, how about an all-new product from Hammer and Nigel Restaurants?
Looking for an alternative protein source to red meat? First, Burger King introduced the Impossible Burger, made with a plant-based protein-filled patty. Now get ready for the Cicada Burger. Yep, those pesky insects are an excellent source of protein, low fat, and they're loaded with iron.
And they're crunchy.
Order your cicada burger now for a limited time, because once they're gone, you'll have to wait another 17 years for them to be on the menu. The Cicada Burger. Get yours today.
Just the worst.
17, every 17 years, get ready.
All right, before we move on, should I retweet this or not? It's an article from the Associated Press. Cicadas are nature's weirdos. They pee stronger than us, and an STD can turn them into zombies.
Oh, I'll tweet that right now. Hit the button.
And retweet it. Boom. At Hammer and Nigel.
I don't care if that's accurate or not. That's a great story.
They pee stronger than us. Man.
Cicadas are nature's weirdos. They pee stronger than us, and an STD can turn them into zombies.
Well, I get that part, but peeing stronger than us, that's a bold statement.
Right.
Because that first leak you take after a couple beers, or that first leak after a road trip, you mean to tell me that a cicada's doing better than that?
No.
No way.
Not buying it.
Is this anything? A dad is trending on TikTok after he called out two teenagers at a trampoline park for being awesome with his son.
Oh, good.
Here he is.
If you live in Billings, Montana, and your teenage sons were at Get Air yesterday, you should be really proud of them. They're awesome. I don't even know how it happened. They started jumping with my kid, and he just went with it. And every time they made sure to catch him if he was going to fall, they had the best time. They were cracking up the whole time, helping him bounce higher. It was amazing. Those boys did not have to entertain my kid. This is the kind of people that we need to be raising more of.
Absolutely.
So if the two boys that were jumping with my kid see this, thank you.
I love it. And that's what, you know what, that's what TikTok should be. Not random videos of you lighting your farts on fire.
Well, in China, like, that's what they get. They get, like, humanitarian stuff. Yeah. They get science. They get math. Over here, we're eating Tide Pods on TikTok.
No, but I like this. I'm like, you know, my son's been at those trampoline parks before, and older kids have kind of played with him. I'd like, you know, and now that my son's getting old, he's like 12 years old, he plays with the younger kids in our neighborhood, just like the older kids in our neighborhood played with him when he was a little bit younger. And I think that's what most people are like. I think that's what America is really about. You see all this hateful crap, all these awful gut protests condemning Israel and supporting Hamas. That's not what America's all about. This, what this guy is describing is what America's all about.
Allison, could you please turn my computer up? Because I want to play a soundbite from my computer here. As great as that soundbite is, I'm going to bring you great moments in TikTok history. This was the woman on TikTok who said that she's not in the mood for white shenanigans.
If you have a token white and you're hanging out with your friend group of color, you need to ask permission from everybody in the group to bring your white friend. Like, don't just bring them. Ask for explicit permission from everyone. Because just because you're comfortable with them doesn't mean that everybody's comfortable with them. I might not be in the mood to deal with white shenanigans that day. And another thing, it feeds into their ego. Like, don't let them think they're a good white person.
Don't let them think they're a good white person.
All right, you changed my mind again. Ban TikTok. Let's get rid of it. What does white shenanigans include? Like doing the hokey pokey?
I feel like House of Pain is probably playing in the background. Whatever your definition of shenanigans is, I bet House of Pain or Sweet Caroline or Don't Stop Believin' probably playing in the background. White Shenanigans sounds like a House of Pain cover band. Is this anything? A wine merchant in England named Tom ran the London Marathon while doing a wine tasting at the same time. He sampled 25 different wines, one at each mile marker. He was able to correctly identify a lot of them. Here he is.
It's London Marathon Day. We're starting with a red. We're doing 26 wines, one per mile.
Hurricanes of Pinot Noir from Burgundy, 2018. If that's not a Barolo, fire me. I think it's a New World, quite fruity, a little bit of sugar, jam shed.
Shiraz, Australia. Have I smashed it?
On mile 18. 23. I think it could be a Chardonnay. I think it could be from South Africa.
Now, he didn't. I watched the entire thing. It goes on for like 5 minutes. He didn't drink a full glass of wine each time, but he definitely wasn't sober by the end of the marathon. And let me just say, my next door, Erica, could kick this guy's butt. She could drink a bottle of wine one night, get up and run a marathon and break her previous record.
We need to get the beer bong out to her next time she runs. Yeah, right. She does a little bit from the bong with wine and she runs to the next mile marker. It's the Hammer and Nigel Show.
You're listening to the Hammer and Nigel Show.
My name is Nigel. That's Jason Hammer over there. I saw this morning the Marion County Prosecutor's Office told Fox 59 that six different places in Broad Ripple were searched by police yesterday, including several local bars that we're familiar with. Rock Lobster, Mine Shaft, Average Joe's, and Connor's Pub. Now, those first three bars I mentioned are all owned by Rob Sabatini, who was called this show before. I'm talking about some of the various problems Broad Ripple has been encountering with other bars that were nuisances. I don't know who owns Connor's Pub, but apparently police not only went to these bars to search, but they went to the owners' homes as well. I don't know if you call it a raid. I don't know if that's the word we're using here, but nobody exactly knows why they were doing this, what they were looking for, if anything was is taken by the police. No idea.
With as much of a flamethrower as Rob is when he calls into our show, Rob Sabatini, I'm wondering if maybe he's rubbed somebody the wrong way and they're trying to
He went after those guys from Landsharks pretty good a few weeks ago after that shooting took place.
Right. Said there were, now again, this was Rob's words, there were a lot of things that they were letting go that helped add to the bad clientele that they were getting in there.
So I can't speculate. I asked Rob if he wanted to come on the show. I haven't heard back. But I don't know. Once we figure out an update, we'll let you know.
Yeah, wild times in Broad Ripple right now. The New York Court of Appeals has ruled that disgraced movie producer Harvey Weinstein did not receive a fair trial. Thus, his felony sex crimes conviction in New York was overturned today. So keep in mind what's happening in New York right now. Donald Trump's facing charge after charge. Donald Trump could not shake twice after taking a leak, and they're going to hit him with the subpoena. But Harvey Weinstein has now been cleared.
He's still in jail in Los Angeles. He's going to be incarcerated for a long time.
Right, but New York.
I understand what you're saying.
In New York, he's been cleared. So I started going down a rabbit hole thinking about the disgusting Harvey Weinstein saga, because that dude's just gross. And everybody in Hollywood knew what he was about. It was like the worst kept secret out there. Seth MacFarlane would make jokes about him being a creep, like at award shows and things like that. Everybody knew he was Mr. Casting Couch. But do you remember when Gavin Newsom's wife testified against Harvey Weinstein? Because she was an actress and she went to go meet Weinstein in his hotel. And she claimed that Harvey Weinstein's crank looked fish-like. Remember that?
Was it flopping around like a fish that jumped out of the ocean and into a boat?
This is from the New York Post on November 14th, 2022. You guys can look this up for yourself. Quote, Jennifer Seibel Newsom, the wife of California Governor Gavin Newsom, sobbed as she described Harvey Weinstein's distorted and fish-like genitals during her bombshell testimony at the disgraced movie producer's sexual assault trial.
Did it have fins?
I don't know. She said it was uncircumcised. Hey. He was not in good shape. Everything was loose and baggy.
Well, I've had enough of this conversation.
Fish-like. I think that's like the worst way you can describe somebody's junk, right?
Yeah.
Like you can say, well, it's not big enough. It's not small enough. But that's not fish-like. That's just weird. If you're looking for a reason to drink tonight, celebrating her 78th birthday, Adrian from Rocky, Talia Shire.
Adrian.
So I think she's best known as Adrian, but would you also accept Connie Corleone in the Godfather movies?
Oh, just some drunken, mixed up, awful person. Yeah. I guess I know her better from Rocky, but I like her character.
Right.
In the Godfather 1 and 2.
And Michael Corleone had very little tolerance for the nonsense that was being done to his sister, if you remember. Now, 6 degrees of separation, Michael Corleone is also 84 years old today. Al Pacino won an Oscar for Scent of a Woman.
Just had a baby.
But let's be honest. That's Michael Corleone. That's the signature role, right? That's who he is.
No question.
All right. We've got some Grand Prix tickets to give away to the Sanseo IndyCar Grand Prix, May 11th, the road course at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. Great way to kind of kick off the month of May. Caller number 9 gets to play the game. 239-9393. That's the number. 239-9393. Fun little game for Grand Prix tickets. That is coming up next.
The world gets still. You're listening to the Hammer and Nigel Show.
So it is on like Donkey Kong, May 11th at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway on the road course, the Sanseo Grand Prix.
Sanseo.
We got tickets for you right now. Caller number 9 was Sean. Sean, how are you?
I'm great. How are you?
Doing all right. So, Sean, you're going to play the game. Andretti, Petty, or Famous for Spaghetti. And this is how it's going to work. I'm going to give you a fact about someone. It will either be a fact about the Andretti family from IndyCar racing, famous rock and roll star Tom Petty, or somebody famous for making spaghetti. You get three of these right, we're going to give you the tickets, okay?
Sounds great.
Number one, Andretti, Petty, or Famous for Spaghetti has a son named Michael and a grandson named Marco that have also raced in the Indy 500.
That'd be Andretti.
That's Andretti. One down, two to go. Wrote the lyrics for Mary Jane's Last Dance, Andretti, Petty, or Famous for Spaghetti?
My favorite Tom Petty song.
There it is.
There it is. All right. Get this right. We're throwing a party. Andretti, Petty, or Famous for Spaghetti? Darden Restaurants Incorporated, the owners of Olive Garden.
My favorite spaghetti.
Yay! Here we go! 55! Sean, my man, enjoy the Grand Prix. It's a fun race, all types of action on that road course. Stay on the line, and Allison will take care of you, okay?
Thanks, fellas.
I would
almost argue that Olive Garden is famous for fettuccine over spaghetti. Oh, man.
They're fettuccine Alfredo. Ugh. Do you get the chicken in it, too?
No chicken. I don't mess around with the chicken.
Gotta get the chicken, man.
I don't mess around with the chicken.
Chicken, put all that Parmesan cheese on top of it. Boy, we've had a lot of fat boy talk here today, haven't we? The debate's still on, by the way, if you think butter is a condiment. The Twitter poll that we've got pinned to the top, most people are siding with you, Nige, despite the fact that I've laid out what I think is a very solid case.
You did.
That butter is a condiment. Right now, 66.8% to 33.2% say butter is not a condiment. So you never got to do any of those stupid dating apps, did you?
God, no.
Allison, you're substantially younger than Nige and I. You ever get on the dating apps?
I can't. I can't bring yourself to do it. And I believe you're about to explain why.
So, Outkick.com, they posted this amazing, collage compilation of the most cringeworthy things that they've seen on dating apps, whether it's a bio, whether it's an answer to a question. They've got the screenshots and everything. So these are some things that people have actually put on their various dating apps, whether it's Tinder, Grindr, whatever you're into. One person wrote, quote, "I'm hoping you don't turn off the tap when you go to the bathroom. It's weird. I know you're taking a poop, but keep the tap off. I want to hear you grunt." That was something somebody put on a dating app.
I don't even know what that means. What does tap mean?
The water faucet.
Oh, so
that was your question in that whole statement?
Right. That's the thing that confused him the most. That right there. The grunting, the poop, fine,
so
but he didn't know what the tap was.
Conceivably would turn on the water so you couldn't hear what's actually taking place in the bathroom, whether it be grunting or splashing or sounds emanating out of your anus.
Correct.
Okay. All right. I got it. All right.
One person wrote, "Even my crank voted for Donald Trump." Another person wrote,
"Was it fish-like?"
It wasn't Harvey Weinstein.
"Did it have gills? Could it breathe underwater?"
"Looking to lick feet."
Oh.
Maybe that was Rex Ryan. One person writes, "Looking for my next victim" with the smiley face emoji. Now, they're trying to be coy. I get it.
Yeah.
But listen, people don't know you at this point. You're on a dating app. You probably should avoid the word next victim. One 26-year-old woman wrote, "I poop a lot."
Hey, she's being honest. Out of all of those, I think that was the best one.
I don't think there's any winners here, Allison. No. I don't think there's any winners at all. And I'm just thankful I never had to get on these things.
Real quick, I wanted to get to this before we hit the top of the hour. It's Distracted Driving Awareness Month. And so someone had some experts list the top distractions that can cause a crash out on the road. Here are some of the top ones. Daydreaming. You're bored. You're not just paying attention. And all of a sudden you rear end in some poor bastard.
I think that happens when you do the same route all the time. Like, you up in the morning, you're used to going left to take the kids to school, right to go to work. And sometimes you just get in a routine where you're not even thinking anymore.
I think cell phones probably should be, that's the number one distraction.
Right.
Looking at stuff outside of your vehicle, billboards, or maybe like you pass a giant mansion or something like that. Substance abuse, lack of sleep. Here's mine. And this is number five on here. Reaching for stuff, like something in the back seat, like something spills or the sandwich falls on the floor. I don't know. And I'm sitting here with one hand, my left hand on the wheel, and I'm reaching, I'm craning over the seat behind me, trying to get whatever it was that fell off the seat. Reaching is a big, that's one of the top driving distractions.
That's a problem. If you drop your phone, especially if you're using the navigator on your phone, like if it falls off the dash or whatever.
That's it.
That's a problem, man. That's a problem. There's a lot of things that go into
pets.
Take the pets on the road a lot.
I don't have. I have a cat, but if you got a jumpy dog that's running around, you should probably have that thing secured.
What about going up to look at other idiot drivers? Because I'm the kind of guy that if you do something stupid on the road, after I've laid on the horn and I've given you the finger,
yes,
I want to pull up next to you to see if you look as dumb as you drive.
That's Hammer's next victim.
Next victim, smiley face emoji. It's the Hammer and Nigel Show.
Life is so much more than a diagnosis. It's about sharing time with those you love, hanging with friends who lift you up, and experiencing all those moments that bring you joy. All hits, no skips. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you. So long live singing to the oldies, jamming out to something new, and everything in between.
Hammer and Nigel.
You believe these characters are weirdos?
So let's rock it!
My name is Nigel. Jason Hammer right over there. Looks like the judge in the Delphi murder trial has told many more media outlets that there will not be cameras allowed in the courtroom during the trial of Richard Allen. And I think we saw this coming last week. I think Wish, our news gathering partners, were the first to apply to have a camera in the courtroom. And she's like, nah. And from what I was talking to Donnie Burgess back there, who's going to be covering the trial, it's pad and paper. So I said, get your shorthand ready, man.
Right.
You better brush up on that stuff.
See, this is a problem for me. And I think you disagree with me, and that's okay. But for me, all of the controversy that's been kind of going on here, all of the back and forth, I wanted full transparency. I wanted everybody to see what was going on. And now, sounds like none of us are going to be able to see what's going on. We're going to be relying on reporters that can't even have a phone in the courtroom. It's pen and paper, and we're not going to find out what's happening until the court has adjourned for the night, hours later. And you just hope and pray that the reporter has the story right.
Takes accurate notes. I asked Donnie, is there precedence for live blogging? He said in the past, in previous I don't want to say trials, but Fran Gull has allowed for live blogging, but as of right now, it's pad and paper. And the thing with transparency is we're going to have transparency because they're going to release the transcripts every day. I would assume that's how that works. And then we're going to have to just rely on the reporters and their information that they jot down is accurate.
But is that transparency though? Like relying on somebody else to tell you when you could just simply put a dedicated camera in that courtroom. If you want to tell the local news outlets, you can't have your camera, but we're going to have a dedicated camera, like a pool camera in the court, and you all can pull from that feed.
Yeah.
I don't think that would be the end of the world.
And the other thing is the size of the courtroom logistically doesn't really accommodate for every news outlet that wants a camera in there
right
as well.
So, again, one camera in the courtroom. Like, people across America are in small rooms of their house with a video camera doing Zoom meetings and things like that. You mean to tell me you can't have one dedicated camera with a microphone on the judge and up there at the tables where the defense and the prosecution are? That's all you need. Like a high school AV class could set this up and everybody else could pull that video and audio feed.
I think she wants, the judge, Frangel, wants to protect the identity of the jurors as well.
Don't show them. I mean,
yeah, I mean,
like, I hate to be like the guy that like is trying to be a smartass here, but like these are easy fixes for everything going
on
here.
Have a dedicated camera that just shows the judge and the witness stand. And
yes.
That's it.
And that's it. You don't have to have a camera on the jury, not even a microphone near the jury. Just put it on the prosecution, the defense, the judge. Let everybody know what's going on here. Because now, the way this trial has been, people start having questions if they feel like things are being covered up. Right? There are already questions about, should we have this be admitted? What about these witnesses?
What about the confessions?
What about the confessions, right? There's so many questions. Seems like the judge doesn't like the defense. I'm sorry, the prosecution or the defense. There's a lot of questions here. Just make it transparent. That's all we're asking. But it doesn't sound like we're going to get what we want here. So the FOP president has responded. We talked about this earlier. And if you missed it, we'll address this again after 6 o'clock. But there's this op-ed in the Indy Star. The Indy Star is basically the only place that would share this op-ed from the Indy Bar Association.
Oh, the Indy Bar Association doesn't like when you have anything negative to say about decisions that come down from leftist progressive judges like, what's that guy's name? Stoner?
Judge Mark Stoner. He's got a laundry list of bad decisions.
We're not allowed to criticize him.
No.
We're not allowed to question him.
This op-ed said he's fantastic and you're a problem, basically, if you think he's doing anything wrong. Now, they just brought up one example, the Breanne Leith decision. They didn't mention the other multiple examples of him being completely ridiculous in this op-ed that the Indy Star chose. Again, they shopped this thing around. I've got ears across this city, man. These ears are big for a reason. I can hear things.
The Indy Bar Association shopped it around?
Yes.
They were trying
to get other media outlets to carry this type of story, this type of angle. Nobody would take the bait. But the Indy Star sure did. So congratulations to the Indy Bar Association. You found the media outlet with the smallest reach. Golf clap. Well done. But here is the response. FOP President Rick Snyder, he's not in the mood to get a lecture about how awesome Judge Stoner is.
And then we had organizations like the Indianapolis Bar Association who then write a letter condemning my remarks for criticizing that. I again want to say this, and I want it very publicly documented. I'm doubling down on that criticism, and shame on you, Indianapolis Bar Association. You have emboldened this kind of crap. And this is what our city is facing. This is why officers in the city of Indianapolis are fleeing this community. Not because they don't love the city. In fact, it's the opposite. Because they love this city, they can't stand by and watch what is being done to it, torn apart by our very criminal justice system that is supposed to be protecting it. So they are choosing to go to other communities to be able to do that because there's no hope here.
Again, today is Thursday, April 25th, and Judge Mark Stoner is the worst judge in Indiana. And Nigel, I've had a lot of people ask me this question. How do we get rid of this guy? So the way this works is, first, you're appointed to the job. And then after that, every couple of years, you're on a ballot. We've all been there to vote where we see that question. Should Judge so-and-so be retained? Yes or no? And because most people don't do their homework, they just vote yes. Why not? What the hell? Like, the majority of people vote yes. That's the way that it's always been. But this November, if you see that question on your ballot, because I believe it's going to be there this November, should Judge Mark Stoner be retained, yes or no? Remember what's going on here.
Boy, you're going to get a talking to from the Indy Bar Association, Hammer, if you're not careful.
Bite me. What's that sugar place that's down here by the mall? What's that called? The Sugar Factory?
Yeah, and it looks like they kind of renamed it. There's some new signage up as well. But I've never been there. My dad and his wife and my wife have taken my kids there. And it's like just, I don't know. It's got a bunch of ice cream and sugar crap. I've never been. I don't know. But apparently they're not paying their rent, allegedly.
So a complaint was filed by Circle Center Mall, and they alleged that the Sugar Factory owe hundreds of thousands of dollars in back rent, and they're in default of their lease. And if they don't pay coming up by a certain deadline, bada bing, bada boom, they're getting kicked out.
Yeah, that happened with my dad and the previous business that was in his space. That restaurant didn't pay up, so he locked the doors, and we got to keep everything inside.
Really?
I say we, he.
Right.
Including top shelf steak.
Oh, man.
Thousands of bottles of wine.
Is it all gone?
Yes. So
I've never been to that Sugar Factory. I know my son, he just graduated high school, and I've got another son that's a sophomore. Like, whenever proms roll around or formal dances, that was one of the places where a lot of people chose to go. I've never been there, but if I remember correctly, up on the walls, they had all of these celebrities that were like investors into the national brand, like Usher and Pitbull and these types of dudes. But nobody's writing a check, it sounds like. And unless something changes, here comes another empty space in downtown Indianapolis. Real quick, before we hit the traffic with Matt Baer, check out the contest page at WIBC.com. Lots of action. A lot of action happening there, including your last chance at tickets to our sold-out Tales from the Track event presented by Relay Indiana, booze being provided by Hotel Tango Distillery. The event sold out in less than a week, but there's a pair of tickets left on the contest page, WIBC.com. And you can also check out the Hammer and Nigel Show merchandise store, store.hammerandnigel.com. Get your Hammer and Nigel hoodies, t-shirts, beer glasses. We've got a patriotic line. We've got a month of May line. We've got I hate or I love Rob Kendall t-shirts, and we're getting ready to add a lot more. So check it out. Buy something today. store.hammerandnigel.com.
Are you really okay?
Are you okay?
Everything's gonna be okay.
Are you okay?
Are you okay?
Yeah, I'm fine.
I'm pretty f***ing far from okay.
Are you okay with this? On the Hammer and Nigel Show.
Oh, yeah! A mom in California is going viral after she accidentally sent out an e-vite for her kid's first birthday party to hundreds of contacts in her phone. That's not even the worst of it. That would include how they are named in her phone, like... like sometimes you meet people, you get their name, but you don't know what their last name is. So, like, for example,
I've got someone in my phone named Big Boob Molly.
There's Big Boob Molly. Jess hit her car in the parking lot. one of her contacts was Derek Eyeroll. They all got this e-vite. Go ahead.
I just made an e-vite for my daughter's first birthday party. And on e-vite, it says import contacts. And I thought it meant import to select through. No. It imported all 487 of my contacts and invited them to this birthday party. Not only did it invite my boss, all of my coworkers, all of the people that have ever been stored in my phone, but it sent an invitation based off of how they're stored in my phone. And I want you to just take a second and think about everyone stored in your phone and how they're stored in your phone. Derek Eyeroll, he received an invitation. Jess hit her car in parking lot. I have to quit or get into it.
That woman was the most annoying woman on the face of this planet. Are you okay with this?
No, I'm not. Like, this is such an old person, it mom is. Kind of thing to do. But man, I was looking at the contacts in my phone. Again, I'm friends with someone named Big Boob Molly, but she knows that I call her that. Yeah. It's not like it's some sort of secret. And she's only got like 400 contacts in her phone. I've got 1,185.
How can you tell? I don't even know how I can tell.
Go to the contacts and then just kind of keep going until you run into lists, and it will show all contacts. And I'm sitting at 1,185. So this is kind of a power move for somebody that's not real tech savvy, sending out the wrong, you know, Evites the wrong way. Not really okay with this because you're right. She is kind of annoying.
I've got somebody in my phone named Bagel, and that's it. It just says Bagel. I think I know who that is. That might be Bagel Boy from back in the day.
Okay.
I'm trying to figure out. I'm trying to just list. I've got a crap load of contacts, too, and I have no idea who half these people are. Just a guy named DeFrench. It's just, that's all it says.
DeFrench? Is there another guy in there? Italian? The German?
Nope.
This is riveting radio right now, watching I'm Nigel just... take forever to go through his phone.
Yeah, all right.
You're like the old woman trying to invite people to the party. Let's go.
Chicago Cubs relief pitcher Luke Little was forced to change gloves on the mound during the Cubs' 4-3 victory over the Astros last night, Hammer, because of the white that was on his American flag patch on his back glove, on his black glove. Are you okay with this?
Unfortunately, yes. Now, what happened was Luke Little's a reliever, and he gets called into the game. His glove is black, but on one side, he's got a Chicago Cubs logo. On the other side, he's got the American flag. Well, the American flag has white on it. Right? There are white stripes. There are white stars. As a pitcher, you're not allowed to have anything white on your glove because the hitters, they lock into what's coming out of your hand. And it could be, you know, a distraction. They think it might be the ball, blah, blah, blah. You can wear a white uniform, but you can't have anything white on your baseball glove. He had an American flag. The umpires said, you're going to have to remove it.
So it wasn't turning into something like, oh, this is anti-American. They don't want him to have a flag on his glove.
I think some people want it to be that.
Yeah.
Like I saw a headline from Fox News earlier, and I think even Breitbart. But the real reality is, if you know baseball, pitchers are not allowed to have anything white on their gloves. Now, what I do love, what I'm totally okay with, is after the game, Luke Little went on Twitter and he posted that GIF of Hulk Hogan playing that star-spangled bannered guitar with the American flag in the background. And he wrote, proud to be an American.
Love that GIF.
American flag emoji, go Cubs go. So I love Luke Little. He loves America. He throws in the upper 90s. I'm okay with that.
Got time for one more here. Kanye West has announced Yeezy porn.
Ew.
Amid reports of an adult film company, West has reportedly been in talks with Stormy Daniels, ex-husband, to head the adult entertainment venture. Are you okay with this?
No. Now, I don't believe Kanye is looking to star in these adult films. Sweet mother of all that's pure, I hope not. But it wasn't that long ago that he had some wild interview where he said there was too much porn out there. Too much porn. And now he wants to own a porn company. He wants to compete against all the popular adult film sites. And he's reaching out to the ex-husband of Stormy Daniels to help him here. Kanye's an odd duck.
That is a weirdo.
He is a weird, weird dude. And the mere thought of him appearing in an adult film makes me want to throw up in my mouth. And for that very reason, I'm not okay with it.
Life is so much more than a diagnosis. It's about sharing time with those you love, hanging with friends who lift you up, and experiencing all those moments that bring you joy. All hits, no skips. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you. So long live singing to the oldies, jamming out to something new, and everything in between.
To get up right now and go to the window, open it, and stick your head out and yell, I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not gonna take this anymore.
And now, Hammer and Nigel go off the rails with Rob Kendall.
Noise pollution.
We're not gonna take it. No, we
Nigel. Jason Hammer is here, also here to go off the rails. This is Rob Kendall from the Kendall and Casey Show. Rob, how are you?
I'm great. Thanks, as always, to our segment sponsor, Garage Doors of Indianapolis.
Any theories as to why these anti-Israel, pro-Hamas protesters that were out in front of the governor's mansion this morning blocking traffic, and protesters in general, wear the masks? You know, like the COVID-19 era masks. Any theories as to why they put those on to protest?
I believe the phrase you're looking for is mental illness, Nigel.
Okay. Or they want to hide their identity because they're cowards.
Well, that, and it's virtue signaling. I'm checking all the boxes, right? Like, I'm protesting for Hamas. I'm wearing a mask. It's virtue signaling, and you're right. Part of it is probably identity theft. But I'm going to come back to my original answer. I think a big portion of it is mental illness.
So they're okay with wanting to slaughter Jews and have blood on their hands, but they don't want anybody to get germs on them.
I think you're spot on here. Now, look, I mean, the reason they do this stuff, clearly they're attention-seeking people. Many of them have no idea what they're actually talking about or what the ramifications are if they got what they wanted. They're doing this, though, because they believe they can get away with it. Because this city has a track record of allowing people who commit egregious behavior in public to get away with it scot-free with no ramifications whatsoever.
So I heard you talking about this on your program earlier today. The last time there was a little commotion in front of the governor's mansion, the ringleader got a meet and greet with the governor.
Yeah, don't forget the law-abiding people who planned it out, who had the permits. Now, remember, that was the original in April of 2020. Got the permits, peaceful, picked up all their trash, went home. They got called a human petri dish by Eric Holcomb.
Those were the anti-lockdown people, right?
Just right? We don't want any money. We just want to go back to work. We just want to run our business. Holcomb said they were a human petri dish.
They didn't break any windows. Ooh. Nobody got beaten or anything like that.
No, but if you're Malik Muhammad, who led the angry mob to the governor's mansion, threatened to seize the governor's mansion on live TV, and then told the TV afterwards, "I went here expecting to die." Well, then you get a meet and greet with Eric Holcomb, and depending on who you believe, you get to help write part of the police reform bill. So if you're these lunatic pro-Hamas people, and the governor has called the law-abiding people a human petri dish, and the guy who threatened to seize the governor's mansion on live TV, he gets a meet and greet red carpet treatment from the governor, which one would you go with?
But luckily, we live in Marion County, where we've got a prosecutor that's super tough on crime and is ready to lock people up that threaten society.
Well, there were people that were arrested today.
Yeah, but what's going to happen to them? I mean, does anybody think they're going to face, you know, swift and harsh justice and they're going to be made an example of?
I'm sure Kamala Harris will bail them out.
That's
Justin Timberlake, Steve Carell. At least that's what happened in 2020.
People will behave based on what they get rewarded in order to do. Very few people have the decency to say, man, that would make me a complete a-hole to just stop traffic and totally disrupt everyone's day. These people will do what they believe they can get attention for and what they can get away with.
And Nigel and I talk about this all the time. Do you really think you're winning people over by these antics?
They don't care. They're attention seekers. They are look at me people, and they're virtue signal people, and they have no idea what they're even talking about. They have no idea the ramifications of what they're saying. Think about how stupid you have to be to wake up each day going, you know, Hamas is kind of a victim in all this. I'm really going to go to bat for them this morning.
But dude, people wake up and think that and other things. Professional victimhood is like a real thing in this country. People wake up every day and just look for something that bothers them.
They do. You're 100% correct. But they do it because they get attention. They're not scorned by society. They're not outcast by society. There was a time in this country where if you were doing what these people are doing, even places like the Indy Star would be covering you going, what an insane group of morons that are out here marching in favor of terrorists. But in the modern era in which we live, these people are getting credibility. They're getting credence. Their story is being told as though there's some validity to what they're trying to accomplish. And so they're going just like little children. Unless you punish people, they're going to continue for what they get rewarded
for.
Did
you see that lady inside the coffee shop, or it was a deli? I know. Somehow I ended up feeling so sorry for Alec Baldwin because some lady shoved a phone in his face and say, Alec, say F Israel. Say something positive about Gaza. You killed a lady, Alec. Say F Israel. If you just say it, I'll leave you alone.
Even if I was on their team, even if I did believe some of what they're spouting, that does not endear me to your cause whatsoever.
These lunatics have put us in the position of supporting Alec Baldwin, yeah. And that's not a position I want to be in, Rob.
They're shameless individuals, and when you have people who have no shame and they don't fear consequences, then you really have no control over them whatsoever. And this is the manner in which they're going to behave. Like, you guys and I, we obviously have a very low opinion of Alec Baldwin. But if we saw him out in public, we wouldn't go stick a camera up in his face demanding him say, WIBC is the best, Alex. Just say it. Just say it and we'll let you go. It's insane behavior. So it comes back to my original statement. The issue here is mental illness.
We're going off the rails with Rob Kendall from the Kendall and Casey Show. So I saw that the campaign of Jennifer McCormick, the Democrat challenger, former state superintendent, she is going to be getting a pretty big chunk of change from the Teachers Association.
Yeah, $1.3 million to help with her election campaign. Now, she has as much chance of being governor as I do, and I'm not running. And my observation on this is because the Teachers Association money, there's not a money printing factory for them that I'm aware of, it comes from teachers. And so it's pretty hard for me to feel sympathetic to you when I hear, oh, teachers are so underpaid and they need more money. If you have $1.3 million laying around to literally flush down the toilet.
To just light on fire, because she's not going to win.
She has zero chance to be the governor of the state of Indiana. And if you have that sort of money laying around, I'm not going to feel sorry that you're underpaid. If you're, the $1.3 million could have helped a lot of teachers, but it's not going to teachers. It's going to political ideology.
And this is something you and I have talked about a lot. The teachers, they get a lot of money. Like, half of the state's budget goes to education. But it doesn't always get passed down to the folks that are in the classroom every day, whether it's the administrations or frivolous spending like this. That's where a lot of this money ends up going.
Yeah, think about this. So it's a $44 billion biennial budget. Over half of the money goes to public education. So you're talking $21 plus billion. $21 plus billion. That's not including property taxes. Think about the property taxes to pay for the buildings is a totally separate equation.
Or the referendums that they'll do.
And you are told by these people that teachers are underappreciated, that they're not paid enough. You're right, Hammer. The issue is not revenue. It's how the revenue is being dispersed. But part of the blame rests on the Republicans. Because how many times do we see, anytime they have some idea to reform public education, that anytime those angry red-shirted teachers show up, they crawl under their desks and apologize for having ideas, and then anymore you see them photographed with these Red for Ed people at the State House thinking that if we just give them more money, if we just suck up to them more, they'll like us or do what we want. They're not ever going to like you, and we, the taxpayers, are the people who keep getting screwed in the whole equation.
Going off the rails with Rob Kendall, I'll pose this question to you. I posed this question to Hammer yesterday. One word to describe that GOP gubernatorial debate.
Train wreck. Is that one word or two?
I think a train wreck. We could do Hammer, just to be clear, he said the word feces, which I don't. Who was the guest that you had on your show today talking about that? That was fascinating.
So we had Pete Seed. He was worked for State Party multiple times. He worked for Holcomb. He worked for Dan Coats. I mean, Pete Seed is as establishment as you're going to get. And this is what I said. The moderator was so bad that he managed to bring the far right in me, the super establishment in Pete Seed, and sort of all the mainstream journalists together, in the sense of this guy was so awful and so went into business for himself that everybody's looking at this going, what the hell just happened here? This was a disgrace.
And who's to blame for this, right? Like, when you have a left-leaning agency like PBS hosting with one of their guys who probably hates everybody on the stage in a Republican primary, that's not PBS's fault. They are who they are. This has to be the Indiana Republicans' fault, right?
I make this argument all the time, whether it's who you vote for or whatever. If you let a vampire into your house and go, here's my neck, you can't be mad that the vampire drained all your blood. You're right, Hammer. These Republicans, for some reason, why would I want a moderate, even if the guy was middle of the road or fair, in a Republican primary? This is not a general election.
Right.
It's a Republican primary. Why wouldn't they want WIBC staff asking the questions? Because that's what Republican primary voters want to hear. We're in touch with the voters, not this PBS guy who probably hates everything conservatives stand for.
And even if you ask somebody in the WIBC newsroom,
and they couldn't do it, then you find somebody else, right? You're absolutely right. This isn't a general election. This was a primary, and you had a dude up there that hated everything that these people stood for and wanted to basically audition for some left-leaning TV gig.
The only decent debate of all these debates, the only decent one, was the one that our friend, the most beautiful man in Indianapolis media, Phil Sanchez, did. Because Phil actually asked questions yes. that Republican primary voters might want to know about. This is not rocket science.
Big night for you. Like, this is like bigger than Master Sunday, Super Bowl Sunday for you. NFL draft night, right?
Really?
The NFL draft is my favorite sporting day of the year. It is the most, to me, the most compelling sporting event of the entire
year. Tell me you're a Bears fan without saying you're a Bears fan if the NFL draft is the biggest night of your year.
I just love everything about it. I start getting super into the draft about 2 months before the draft. I read different mock drafts every single day. I love watching the podcast. I love the strategy of it. I love that there's all this buildup.
So you're like Mel Kiper when it comes to this.
Yeah, I know all these guys.
Mel Kendall Jr.
Oh, yeah, I used to. And I hate they changed it. I loved, used to love. Remember when it was 2 days and you would start at 9 a.m. on a Saturday and it would just run all day and then you do it again Sunday? I miss those days, but still, night one of the NFL draft. Oh, yeah, this is the pinnacle of sports for me.
Even bigger than the Masters. Oh, I don't get that at all.
Because it's the intrigue. It's, you know, some guy whose hair is so big you can't even put a hat on his head is supposed to alter the course
of
a...
We know where all these quarterbacks are going,
you
right?
You have no idea. No, outside of Caleb Williams, we have no idea. You have no... And now, you know Washington's going to take quarterback at two, but you don't know who it is.
Okay.
And then you have no idea what the Patriots are going to do at three. The Vikings have been planning for months on how to get up to be able to take one of these people. Overwhelming majority of these guys are going to bust. I just love everything about the 3 or 4 hours of the first round of the NFL draft. I think it is the thinking man's event, and you guys know I am the thinking man.
Sure.
Pick 15 is where the Indianapolis Colts are. They're normally not trade-up people. Ballard's always been a trade-behind guy, but boy, there's some weapons available if you want to pull a trigger.
I think we may have worlds colliding here because the Bears are at 9. I think they're looking for extra picks, and I think you could see a thing where the Colts at 15 say, hey, we'll give you our 2 to move back to 15 if you've got a Rome Odunze there at 9 or a Malik Nabers or a Brock Bowers. I think you certainly could see. The Colts have got to go big, something big. They can't take another boring cornerback or offensive lineman this time, can they?
Especially with all the moving and shaking that the Texans have done. In the offseason.
Yeah, you got to get a dude.
Yeah.
You're going to have to do something.
Yeah, absolutely.
What's coming up on the big show tomorrow?
Tomorrow we're going to have celebrity attorney Stephen P. New. He's going to be on. We're going to talk about, did you guys know the non-competes may be going the way of the dinosaur? Did you see
that?
The Federal Trade Commission giving that the axe. Stephen P. New going to be with us to talk about the legal ramifications of the non-compete going away.
And special thanks to
Garage Doors of Indianapolis. You guys are the best. Thank you.
He's off the rails. That's Rob Kendall. This is the Hammer and Nigel Show.
Life is so much more than a diagnosis. It's about sharing time with those you love, hanging with friends who lift you up, and experiencing all those moments that bring you joy. All hits, no skips. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com. and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you. So long live singing to the oldies, jamming out to something new, and everything in between.